Okay, how many of you like crosswords? You like some crosswords, okay. You, for a few dollars or a few cents, you can get a whole box of these shipped to you very quickly, and you can do a lot of crosswords. How many like crosswords? Amen. Divine likes crosswords. Today we're going to be talking about crosswords. And so I wanted to start off by saying last time I got accolades because I kept you past 12 o'clock. It was many months ago. It was we did a history lesson last time. We talked about these names on the windows, and we sought Jesus's face. We took an application and applied it to seeking his face. So you're not in history class today, but you are in class. So we're going to do language arts today, and I'm going to talk about small words that have big meanings, okay? And so to do that, we need to know a little bit of information from class. So it's good we have some high schoolers in here and grade schoolers, because they know these things, they're learning them. Parts of a sentence, something you learn at a very young age, the different parts of a sentence. A verb describes an action. A noun is a person, place, or thing. A preposition relates something to an object. So for you geeks and nerds and people like myself, the word noun is a noun, because the word noun is a person, a place, or a thing. The word verb is a noun, but a verb tells an action. The word preposition is a noun, but a preposition tells information and how it relates to an object. So you guys don't need to remember that. What you do need to remember is something hopefully you were taught when you were first brought to the Bible, and that's translations and how they were originally written. So, for example, if you were in the Old Testament, that was originally written in Hebrew. So if you're looking up a certain word, you're looking in a Hebrew dictionary or lexicon. And same with the New Testament, it'd be for the Greek. So it was originally written in Greek. So depending on where you are researching, that's where you're going to go back to find those root words, the word origin. And I bring that up because September-ish last year, we switched to an ESV translation in the Pew Bibles here. Most churches kind of meet in the middle and they use an NIV. And I'll give you a brief description. Translations into English either come from a word-for-word translation, where each individual word is translated into English, or a thought-for-thought translation. And so many churches choose the middle so that it's easy to read, but yet as close as can be to that original text. So we took a few steps towards word for word and went with the ESV Bible. And it gives us just a little bit closer connection to how it was originally written. In English, when we look up a definition of an English word, it could have multiple meanings. It could mean different things. So if I were to say, Matt, go out, well, he would take that as Matt is leaving. Matt, leave this room, go out. But if Matt comes to me and says, Casey, tomorrow I'm going out, I might think tomorrow he's leaving, or I might think tomorrow he's going on a date, going out with somebody. So it's the same word, going out, but it has different meanings. And that's no different for any other word that we're looking at. It depends on the context in which it's said. So when we're reading the Bible, we're studying a certain small word or group of words. It depends what's surrounding that as to what it's going to mean. The English language is quite different than the Greek. So in our culture, when we say the word love, we use the word love for all kinds of love. Okay, no matter what kind of love we're talking about, the English just say love. But in the Greek, there were different loves. There was different words for different types of loves. So, for example, eros would be a romantic or an erotic love. That's what it would have been. That's what would have been said in the Greek. When we think of like a family bond, a bond between family members, that's a different love. The word storge. What we talk about most of the time in a church setting is filial love. Filial love is the brotherly love. It's that brotherhood. It's that love like a brother would love a brother. So that's what we say a lot of times. But remember, in English, we're just saying love. We don't have that differentiation between the different loves. And then obviously you've heard agape love. So that's God's divine love. That's unconditional love. That's love without end. That's love without limits. So just a little information before we get started on our crosswords. I'm going to have Mark show us a picture of a ship. In the bottom left corner is a rudder, and that's what controls the ship. And so let's read through this here, James 3:4. Look at the ships also, though they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. Now, the context is speaking about the tongue. The tongue is a small member of the body, but that directs your life, your body, on and on. But the implication is something small controls something big. So small words, big meaning, okay? Another example would be, in our Bible examples here, is the mustard seed. So you can read about it in the Gospels. Faith as small as a mustard seed, though it's one of the smallest seeds, becomes one of the largest trees. Another example of something that's small, that's impactful. The third and fourth example would be yeast. You culinary experts would know a little leaven leavens the whole bread. Doesn't take much, right? And also with salt. Salt is very potent. It's small. Some people think they need a lot of salt and they use a lot of salt. I don't. One thing I will share, because it's Mother's Day, is one of my favorite meals that my mother would make is cocoa wheats. And I still do it the same way that she did it back then. She would make the cocoa wheats, she would toast a piece of bread, butter that thing up, and she would cut it into 16 squares, okay? 1 inch by 1 inch, about 16 squares, and she'd dump that on top of the cocoa wheats. I loved it. I still do it the same way today. However, when I first started making cocoa wheats on my own, I did not follow the directions correctly. It calls for a tablespoon of sugar, but I put a tablespoon of salt in, which was much more than what I actually needed. And nevertheless, I threw that away. So, oh, who let this guy in? Oh my goodness. What do you do when he comes out on the field? You have to stop. You have to stop playing. He learned how to do that at a Notre Dame game. That's a, you know he did. So. All right. So today we're going to look at some small words, okay? And Mark's going to put these up. We're going to talk about two verbs, am and be, and also two prepositions. And Eldon, I'm going to ask that you'll help me pass some things out here. You'll do these two sections. Whoever wants one, they're just notes. Can you help me with these two? So when we're talking about am and be, the verbs and the prepositions of and with, and on this paper, if you'd like one, it's just going to be for taking notes if you like to study later and that sort of thing. So, but you have a bonus word on there as well, a fifth word, which is just a different tense of the word be. And you say, Casey, these are so small, just like that commercial we saw. It's so small. And in that commercial, no matter what word you look at in that Bible, it's small because you can barely read it. But we're going to talk about actual small, small words. And I'm going to show you that they're impactful. I'm going to explain that to you. And the goal of doing this is so that we have a greater understanding and depth to what we're reading in the Bible. So many people, you've heard this on the radio, other people say it, They'll say, meditate on a scripture for a week. You know, write it down, put it in your pocket, meditate on that scripture. Now, you can reread that scripture over and over and over again and get more out of it and memorize and all those sort of things. But if you knew what each of those words in the scripture that you were reading meant to a greater understanding, then you would get more out of that particular scripture. And so that's what we're going to kind of show today. So before the break, we started learning about verbs. And one thing I want to share is with verbs showing some sort of action, that's something like when we say we love, we loved, we are loving. Those are all verbs. It's just different tenses of the same word. If I were to say I throw a ball, or Casey threw a ball, or Casey's throwing a ball, that would be the same word, just different tenses of the same word. In our house, we don't use the word threw the way that you may. We actually don't use it at all. If Mason comes in, you know, throws something away in the trash, and he comes into the room where we are at, he says, Daddy, I throwed it away. And we say, Amen, you throwed it away. So maybe that's from the Kentucky side, I don't know, but we don't use threw, we just say throwed, okay? Another example of a verb, what it can show in action, would be like an occurrence. So an example of an occurrence would be like expand, the word expand, or develop. It can also show a state of being. A verb can show a state of being like exist. That would be an example of that. Okay, so to begin, let's look at our first scripture. You guys are going to have to keep up with me today. You Bible turners are going to get your fingers worn out today. Some of them we're going to have up here. If we have it up here, you don't need to turn to it. But he's going to show a bunch of references, and that's when we learn how quickly you can go through the Bible, okay? So we're going to start off with Mark. We'll help you on the first one, Exodus 3:14. We're going to start with that first word on your paper, am. We're just going to learn a little bit more about it. So God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. You guys have heard that verse before. What we're going to find out there is the word I am comes from Hebrew because we're in the Old Testament there. So the Hebrew word for I am is Haya. It's spelled on your paper H-A-Y-A-H, Haya. And that literally means be, become, or come to pass, okay? So you could, maybe the Kentucky person would say, I be who I be, okay? That would be the same thing as I am who I am. However, it's not grammatically correct to say I be who I be, right? So I am is the first person singular of be, become, come to pass. Okay, so that's what he's saying there when he says, I am. Now, that's the Hebrew version of I am. Let's look at this one. We're going to pull two scripture references here, and I'd like you to turn to these. John 11, 25. So now we're in the New Testament. These would be Greek words that were translated into English for us to read. John 11, 25. And then right after that, we're going to go a few pages forward to John 14, 6. Okay, so Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. I am, in the Greek, is the word eimi. That's the word am. It's eimi in the Greek. And it literally means I am, because it's an exact translation from the Greek into the English. Eimi means I am. It means exist. It's that state of being. I exist. I am. And when you go deeper in a Greek study of the word eimi, you find out that it's without limits. It's eternal. It's without end. It's timeless. It actually has what's called timeless implications. So when he's saying I am, it's not just three letters that he's saying. He's saying a whole lot of things with those three letters. He's saying eternally I am, forever and ever I am. And this gets really good now, because when Jesus says I am, he's pointing back to God who is and was and is to come. That's all three tenses. That's the same thing he's saying. In Hebrews it says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, or yesterday, today, and forever. It's all three tenses all together. So swallow that, and it's very good. Let's go to John 14:6. Same Greek word here, I am. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Same thing here. He's saying, you know, I endlessly am the way. I'm without limits the way. I'm eternally the truth. I'm without end life. I am those things. It's very deep. And it's something that I've read these scriptures before, but it wasn't until the last few weeks of getting down into these small words that I found out so much more about that one scripture that I've heard before. Okay, and that's the difference, and that's what we'd like to learn today. Okay? It goes on and on. It's everlasting, infinite, goes on and on, you can't measure it. It's everlasting, infinite, goes on, you can't measure it. It's timeless. It keeps going on. That's all from the word am. Now, that brings up something interesting, right? How do we use am? I am tired. I am busy. I'm busy. I'm struggling. I'm hurt. I'm sick. I'm. Now, if am is timeless, eternal, going without end, I'm always struggling. I'm always hurt. Without end, I am busy. These are the things that we're saying, even though we're saying two words. Now, we go through seasons, we have different hurts and pains. I'm not trying to discredit that, but am has a lot of meaning to it, and we're saying it every day. So, I am blessed. I am the head, not the tail. I'm above and not below. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I am breakthrough. I am overcome. Those are the same word, but we could be saying that as well. I am balanced. Okay, on your sheet, am and be are next to each other because they are very closely connected. Of and with are next to each other because they are closely connected. So that ends the am part, and we're going to move on to be, and we'll kind of expand with that. For the word be, we're going to look at Matthew 14:27. Mark's going to have this one. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. So we're in this scripture because I'm going to talk about be, do not be afraid. But I want you to look just before that, it is I. It is I is the Greek word, eimi. We just talked about eimi. It is I. So it could say, take heart, I am. Do not be afraid. Take heart. I am endless. I am eternal. Do not be afraid. It is I is I me. When we look at be, what be literally means is live, exist, continue, remain, occupy. That's what the word be means. So, do not live afraid. Do not exist afraid. Do not continue afraid. Do not remain afraid. Do not occupy yourself with fearfulness. Do not take position of fear. Take heart. I am. Do not be afraid. The next tense is beautiful. Be meaning exist, live, those type of things. Being is the next tense of be, and it's the complete state, okay? It's complete. It has full capacity, okay? So this is your bonus word on your paper there, being. And it comes, the closest thing I can show you in the Greek would be the word teleo. Now, teleo, what's it come from? Teleo means reaching the aim. It is well illustrated by the old pirate's telescope unfolding, extending out one at a time till its full strength. Okay? So being is the full measure, the full capacity of whatever it's speaking about. There he is there. Now, I'm going to read two scriptures here. And you guys were good participants when I asked who likes crosswords. We had hands go up. See? He does. He loves crosswords. You know what, brother? Here you go. You can just have this one. I got another one, okay? Now, when I say being, I'm going to read two scriptures. When I say being, I want you to raise your hand. Okay? Ready? When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. You missed it. Nobody heard it. Let's try it again. You remember that movie, it's The Sloth, and he's at the DMV and he talks real slow. They tell him jokes and he laughs really slow. I'll read it slower this time. You guys ready? When you hear the word being, full, raise your hand, okay? I won't go that slow. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. He heard it. It is finished. It's full capacity. Same word. That's the word being. Let's read another one. "For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me." Now we got it. "And he was numbered with the transgressors, for what was written about me has its fulfillment." There it is again. "For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled. It must occur completely. It must run its full course." That's what he's saying. I'm expanding the verse now. I'm not reading from the text. I'm expanding from the text. Okay. "He was numbered with the transgressors, for what is written about me has its fulfillment." It has its full capacity now. Okay? You guys getting the idea? Right? We're learning a word that's this big, and we're reapplying it into that scripture over and over again. Different versions of the same word. Okay? That's the goal for today. That's what I want you to take home. Okay, I'm going to go into the prepositions now. How they relate to a noun, okay? And this says it better than I can say it. I'll just read it here. A preposition is a connecting word that indicates the relationship between one word with another word, okay? That's just, it's a connecting word of some sort. And so in the English, we use prepositions like the word of to show direction or location. So if I were to say, you know, our church is located on the south side of Lincoln. Okay, that's showing you where we're at. It's the connection to Lincoln. We're south of it. Okay, if I were to say, you know, meet Sister Darla of Middlebury, it's associating her with Middlebury. Okay, that's how we typically use prepositions and specifically the word of. But what if we go a little deeper? Because prepositions are not new. They're not just when English came about. They were around before that in original languages and texts. But what it actually, prepositions in the word of actually mean back then was a little bit more precise. It meant possession, it meant identity, it meant your association with something. So the closest thing I can show you to that would be the Greek word apo, and you have it there. So the translation of apo is of. It also means away from. Now you say, Casey, away from, but you said it's association of, because of, from. When we look at the word apo, that's where we get the word apostle. Okay, that's the prefix to apostle, A-P-O. And you know from the Great Commission that an apostle is commissioned. He's sent. He's sent away from. He's sent forth. But he has an association with who sent him. Okay? So the apostle is sent forth, but he has the association with the authority that sent him. So he's going forth, but his eyes are on the one that sent him. Okay? That's why it comes to be the word apostle. Now, the opposite of that would be apostate. That's the opposite, okay? That's a separation. That's a leaving of that authority, that association, okay? So apo is the closest thing I can give you for the word of. And I'm going to give you some more scriptures here in a minute, but we're going to slide right into the next word with. With on your paper has the Greek word meta, okay? And it means among, accompany, it means association, it means with, and it means against. With and against. With means I'm with something, I'm against something. You say, how can that be? Well, let me give you an example. In English, if I were to say, I stand with Jade, okay? I'm associated with her, I'm with her. If I'm in her car, she's driving, I'm going where she's going because I'm with her, okay? All right, so wherever we are, if I'm standing with Jade, I'm in association with her. Now, if somebody comes up and starts picking on her, that person is now picking on her, I'm gonna step in too. Because if you're picking on her, you're picking on me too. I'm with her. I have association with her. Now, how can it mean against? Well, if I stand with Jade's enemy, now all of a sudden to her, me saying I'm with Jade's enemy, that means against to her. That means the opposite of with to her. With and against. So that's an English example. Well, let's look at some examples in Scripture. Matthew 28 and 20, Mark's going to have. This is from the commission. We just spoke about that a few minutes ago. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now this one's packed full of goodies because we're talking about with, but the thing is, we've already talked about I am. We already know what the end is, right? So this one's packed full of goodies. And behold, I exist alongside you to the full capacity of the age. There's a lot there. I exist eternally alongside you to the end of the age. I am with you always to the end of the age. The next two scriptures are parallel. Matthew 12:30 and Luke 11:23. They're the exact same in the ESV. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. There you have with and against, with and against. So it could say, whoever is not in my company is against me, and whoever does not gather alongside me scatters. Whoever is not associated with me is against me, and whoever does not gather among me scatters. I'm going to read a few more just to expand on it. John has answered and said, "Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow along with us. But Jesus said to him, 'Do not hinder him, for he who is not against you is for you.'" And the parallel of that, John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he was not following us. But Jesus said, 'Do not hinder him, for there is no one who will perform a miracle in my name and be able soon afterward to speak evil of me.'" Of and with and against. There's a lot there. Like I said before, I've read certain scriptures, but it wasn't until he started showing me the origin of some of these words. That's when it became more alive. It's opening this up, and then it's opening this up again. That's what it is. It's time for mashed potatoes, Matt. We're going to mash some words together now, okay? You've got am, you got be, you got of, you got with, but what about when we connect some of these together, okay? So think of that out of your paper there. How many times can you think of scriptures that would say be of one mind, be of one accord, be of good cheer? It's the verb and the preposition together showing you something. It's all throughout the Bible. We're going to turn to this one in your Bibles, 2 Samuel 10:12. Oh no, where's it at? It's in the Old Testament somewhere. I can't find it. 2 Samuel 10:12. This will be an example of be of. You guys are getting so much information today. It's just like the first song, The River. They're like da 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 da. It's like you're going to have to re-listen to it. All right, 2 Samuel 10:12. Be of good courage, and let us be courageous for our people and for the cities of our God, and may the Lord do what seems good to Him. Be of, live possessing good courage. I'm just taking words we've already talked about and applying them now. Live possessing good courage. Exist with the identity of courage. Remain in the relationship of courage. Continue in your original courage, and let us be courageous for our people and for the cities of our God, and may the Lord do what seems good. Be connected to courage. Let's look... What's the verse before it? Verse 11. Let's look at the context here. And he said, "If the Syrians are too strong for me, then you shall help me. But if the Amorites are too strong for you, then I will come and help you." You got to be kidding me. And he said, "If the Syrians are too strong for me, then you shall be with me. But if the Amorites are too strong for you, then I shall be with you. Be of good courage, and let us be courageous for our people." Possess it intrinsically. Give rise to courage, and let us be courageous for our people and for the cities of our God, and may the Lord do what seems good to Him. The first four words of that verse, be of good courage, a fifth of a page on it out of four words. It means a lot more to me. There's your mashed potatoes. You mashed it together. One more with am and with. And Mark's going to pull this one up. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. Again, it's just another scripture you guys have heard, you guys have said, you guys have meditated on. There I am with them. There I exist among them. There I interact in proximity to where they are at. There I am I with them. For where two or three gather in my name, there I occupy alongside them. God's word is active and alive. And I'm ending on a subtle note. I'm not going to cheer or clap or yell louder. This is going to be a subtle ending, because you just got the information in concentrated form. Now you got to go take care of that. It's the same principle that we read, or that we learned many months ago. If you weren't here when we spoke about these family names and bringing honor to them and seeking His face, all we did was learn a principle and then we applied it so that we can use that for greater knowledge. It's the same thing we're doing today. You're learning a principle of go deeper in words, even if they're little, and expand on those. It's alive and active. Let's pray. God, Your word is alive and active. We want to exist with Christ's full capacity in us. We want to be being. We want to live. We want to live lacking nothing that's essential to Your character. We want to be being. We want to occupy the fruit. We want to occupy love and joy and peace, patience, goodness, kindness, and gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. We want to bring You honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Now they're going to sing a song, and I was going to wait, but I'm going to go ahead and read this last scripture, because it's got to come out now. So this is in the Psalms. They're going to sing a song here, then they'll release us when they're done. Okay? Knowing what we know, let's listen to Psalm 90, a portion of it. Lord, You have been our home since the beginning. Before the mountains were born and before You created the earth and the world, You are God. You have always been and You will always be. Amen.